We're discussing lead poisoning and mitigation efforts on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Biden was in Ohio last month promoting the importance of removing lead pipes and tying it back to the $1 trillion infrastructure law passed in November. Biden said our country will start to undo the legacy of lead that has poisoned too many children.
Every American, every child should be able to turn on a faucet and know that the water they're drinking is clean and safe. We're also going to create thousands of good-paying jobs in the process with union plumbers and pipe fitters.
Do you worry about lead poisoning from paint in your home or from lead pipes that carry your drinking water? Have you been waiting for your city to replace lead service lines? What's the status? 800-642-1234. Brian Weaver is lead policy advisor for the State Department of Health Services. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. Can you give us an assessment, a status update, if you will, of what the lead poisoning situation is in Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Wisconsin, it's important to remember that there really is no part of the state that's safe from lead poisoning. Every county in Wisconsin has had a lead poisoned child under the age of six. And over the last 25 years, Wisconsin has approximately 230,000 children under the age of six who have been lead poisoned. So it's an issue that's pervasive across the state. But it's important to remember, too, with this issue that there are clear disparities in Wisconsin. And we see that these disparities, health disparities, are brought on by the social and economic conditions that put kids at greater risk of living in housing with lead. So children who live in older housing, and this is pre-1978 housing we're looking at, who experience housing instability and live in poverty are at greatest risk for having dangerous lead hazards in their home environment. So in Wisconsin, this unfortunately means that Black and brown children are at greater risk for being lead poisoned. So if you look at the data, we see an example here that I can highlight is that Black children in Wisconsin accounted for 18% of all children who were tested for lead in their blood in 2019. Mm. Out of that 18%, they accounted for 45% of all lead poisoning in that year in 2019. So the disparities are quite stark in Wisconsin, that we do see concentration of childhood lead poisoning in cities of Milwaukee, in cities where we have a higher concentration of older housing stock pre-1978, and also housing stock that is perhaps deteriorating and not kept up. And you see chipping and peeling paint and other health hazards potentially in that home environment. With that understood, however, but there are, you know, if we look across Wisconsin, this is an issue that does impact both urban and rural settings. And so we see that in 2019, we saw the highest rates of lead poisoning in counties like Milwaukee, but also in counties like Rusk, Vernon, Sheboygan, Jefferson, and Rock County. So we do have cases and higher rates outside of the city of Milwaukee as well in Wisconsin. It is an issue of concern.
I want to probe the environment for a moment here, because sometimes state authorities will pivot and shift the focus away from lead pipes and focus more on the issue of what's in the home, the legacy issue of lead paint. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is paint a bigger issue than these lead service lines?
Yeah. So there is no safe level of lead exposure. So we are wanting, from the state perspective, a comprehensive approach and to eliminate any source of lead exposure in a child's environment. What we see in Wisconsin is that the lead poisoning is an older housing issue that is attributable to lead paint in housing that is in disrepair. So it's chipping and peeling, there's lead dust. And it is an issue of children who are young. We see the highest rates of lead poisoning between the ages of 1 and 3 because of the fact that these children are exploring their environment, crawling on the floor, you know, cruising around, hanging on to objects like windowsills, where we can see a higher concentration of lead dust if there is deteriorating lead paint in that home environment. And so that hand-to-mouth behavior that those children have at that age increases the chances that they're going to ingest leaded paint, leaded dust into their body and become poisoned that way. So that's primarily where we see the route of exposure in mm-hmm. children in Wisconsin and how they're getting lead poisoned. However, again, because we want to make sure that this child's environment is safe and lead safe, that water definitely is a source that we need to be concerned about. You know, as you opened up this segment, that lead service lines has been a focus area for mm-hmm. federal funding and for mm-hmm. state funding, and rightly so. People want to be able to drink safe, clean drinking water coming into their house, and lead service lines are an issue. In Wisconsin, I believe it's been reported over 170,000 lead service lines in the state. And so we do need to eliminate those sources of lead in the child's environment as well, too. So both are very important. Lead paint is really the primary source of exposure for children in Wisconsin.
Sounds like your programs and policy work really have to tackle multiple fronts on the issue of lead.
Yes, they do. So from the policy perspective, it's important that children have quality and safe housing. So we want to make sure that rental properties, older homes, affordable homes are safe, and that we have oversight over what those environments look like mm-hmm. for children. And so it's important that we have the lead service lines being replaced coming into those properties, that we have an assessment of those properties. If there are any hazards, they are identified and remediated and taken care of. So it's important from that. In addition to that, outreach and education to parents is critically important to understand the risks that older housing poses to their child mm-hmm. and steps that they can take to make sure that environment is clean and well maintained to avoid or reduce the risk of child being exposed to lead. Also, the healthcare, primary care providers
at the pediatrician's office. Is that what?
Yes.
Yes, at those pediatric visits and making sure that children are, I would imagine, being tested for lead exposure or asked the questions very early on. Do you feel like you're able to have those protocols in place?
Yes, more needs to be done in that area with physicians. We have seen, unfortunately, a decrease in blood lead testing over the course of the pandemic, with less frequent office visits, well check visits for a child. WIC clinics was another primary source where we saw blood lead testing being conducted, and a lot of them have gone virtual, where they're providing their services online. We have seen a significant decrease in blood lead testing in young children. And so there is a need to continue to kind of do the outreach and education to physicians about the importance of asking a parent about the risks potentially in that environment for that child, assessing if that child actually should be tested for lead in their blood, and then following through with that blood lead test. So that is critically important.
Talking with Brian Weaver, lead policy advisor for the State Department of Health Services, you can join in. How do you think the state should address and remove lead from homes? Have you considered, joining litigation because of exposure to lead that later led to lead poisoning? 800-642-1234. I just want to suss out a little bit more, Brian. When you say there's been a drop in testing for lead in these pediatric visits, how big of a drop are we talking about?
Well, we're seeing close upwards of 25% decrease as compared to 2019. And that's where the pre-COVID. And so we are continuing to see that steady number as far as fewer children getting blood lead testing. It is higher in the Medicaid population, which is an important population that we monitor in the state, because of in Wisconsin, roughly about 85% of our lead poisoned children are on Medicaid. So it is an important population of needing to do outreach and education to the physicians who serve that population. And with that, we are seeing about 30% decrease in children who are on Medicaid receiving the required blood lead tests.
And then those children are followed, I would imagine, through life. How do you ensure those children don't fall through the cracks once they do, test high for lead exposure?
Yeah. So local health departments are critical in this step. So when a child is identified with lead poisoning, local health departments often will take action. And so that is typically in the form of a public health nurse doing outreach to the family. And if it's at a level where the child's blood lead level is high enough, they will do a home visit, talk with the family, assess the environment, educate them on remediating any risk, reducing the risk in that environment. And then if it reaches a level where we need a lead risk investigation, an environmental health specialist will come in typically and look at that environment and identify any lead hazards. And then steps are taken to remediate those lead hazards. So follow-up and intervention are critically important for that child so mm-hmm. that we don't continue to expose that child to lead and the lead increases in their blood over time. So immediate intervention is critically important, education of the families. And yes, that child may need follow-up services ongoing to address any deficits from that lead poisoning.
Let's bring on a caller. Jim is joining us from La Crosse to talk about abatement. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, I was a lead risk assessor for a county health department. And what I found was the housing stock was in such poor condition that the abatement actually costs more than the property was worth. Mm. So that was a real impediment to getting any solution to the problem.
Jim, thank you for bringing that to the table. Brian, what about that issue when the abatement would cost more than the property is worth?
We do see that on occasion where the property is in such poor condition that the abatement efforts are at a high cost. We tend to look at with the funding that we have targeted towards abating properties in low-income households through our Lead Safe Homes program, children need to be living there, and we set it up where that it's a family that's living in that household, or it's a rental property where that landlord is renting to low-income families, that we actually look at the cost savings from that, fixing that property up for looking at generations to come. If we're able to prevent a child from being lead poisoned, there are huge societal cost savings because of that. So we actually look at more of the impact on the public health versus looking at the property alone and the cost of the property.
Brian Weaver with us, lead policy advisor within the State Health Department. Have you had lead paint or lead pipes removed from your home? What was that like? How do you feel about Wisconsin's lead abatement and mitigation efforts? What lead programs are most effective in other states that you want to bring here? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Brian Weaver here on the IDS Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Biden administration issued guidance to states this week that it said will ensure the country's largest ever investment in water infrastructure doesn't bypass disadvantaged communities. The EPA's guidance memo applies to $43 billion in the infrastructure law for replacing lead pipes and making safer water in communities that often get passed over and have high rates of poverty. Do you feel like your community or family has been passed over in state and federal efforts to clean up environmental hazards like lead poisoning? What do you hope for out of the latest federal investment? 800-642-1234. Brian Weaver is Wisconsin's lead policy advisor with us for about 9 more minutes. Brian, take us to these federal dollars coming in from the infrastructure law. What will they mean to Wisconsin and the issue of lead poisoning?
Yeah, it's a historic investment. We're looking at Wisconsin receiving hundreds of millions of dollars over the next, 5 years to provide safe drinking water. And so a significant part of those dollars are going to replace lead service lines throughout Wisconsin. And the first installment of those dollars, I believe, are already beginning to arrive in cities across the state. So it will be a significant investment increase in resources that the state is able to dedicate and support local municipalities in replacing their lead service lines.
Do you think it will expedite the current approach to replacing lead service lines, that it will not take generations to get the lead out?
It's a start, and absolutely it will accelerate the efforts to replace lead service lines. An issue that we do need to be mindful of in this effort and in any increase in funding that goes into remediating lead hazards is that we do need a qualified workforce to do the work so that they're doing it safely. They're not exposing themselves or their coworkers or their family to take home lead. And also the work is done in a way that it doesn't create additional hazards and actually remediate and fixes the problem that they're working on so that it is lead safe. So workforce is a critical element to this, and that is often part of many of the funding sources that are coming in to support this work, is that not only do they focus on remediating and fixing the problem, that is like replacing lead service lines, but also a portion of those dollars are going in to build up the workforce so we have the capacity to do this work and to do it well.
So what I'm hearing is that there are inherent risks to this work that involve remediation of lead, and that you really have to focus on also worker safety and building up the workforce as well.
That is correct, yes. And so, you know, if we look at lead abatement in a house, the first thing that any property owner should do is making sure that if they're going to remediate or address a lead hazard in their property, or even do kind of any rehab work in a property that's pre-1978, is that those workers need to be certified to work with lead paint. And there is a Wisconsin certification process for that. So you want to make sure that you are asking those questions. The people that are coming in to work on your property are certified and trained, and they do it in a way that reduces any chance that people will be exposed to lead during the work on the property and afterwards as they clean up and complete the work.
Brian Weaver with us, lead policy advisor for the State Department of Health Services. Brian, I want to look at the role of paint manufacturers and what responsibilities they have in this, because a Wisconsin federal judge just recently threw out claims in 7 lawsuits by people who alleged they were exposed as children to lead in paint made by Sherwin-Williams, made by DuPont and other manufacturers. And so this was a clear win for the manufacturers who are trying to, you know, fend off these lawsuits. What responsibility do paint manufacturers bear in their products?
When we look at this problem, that we do know it's a lead paint issue, and that if paint is not well maintained, leaded paint, that over time it can put lead in the environment. So as far as solutions and looking at the way we can address this issue, I'll be honest with you, I've been focusing on where we have those resources available to us. And so we have been fortunate in Wisconsin to leverage federal and state dollars to abate older properties and make them lead safe. So what that means is that we're able to go in and remove or contain any potential lead paint hazards in those environments. So I've been really focusing our time and attention on that. That really is an important program, the Lead Safe Homes program in Wisconsin. So really been trying to push that and promote that as a solution, not the only solution, but a solution to this issue.
I was surprised there was a recall as recently as last month for children's stackable toys, Adam the Apple, due to the surface paint on the wood toys containing levels of lead that exceed our federal lead paint ban. Why is this still happening?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. There are other sources of potential lead hazards in our environment. So we've talked about lead service lines, the kind of water infrastructure, that brings water into our houses, the paint in our houses, but there are also other products that can be brought into the home environment that potentially could pose a threat. So toys are one of those things that are regulated. So we try to catch that, prevent those toys from coming into the home of a child, but it is an issue. And so we do have the ability to regulate and catch those. If we hear complaints, if we understand there might be a potential source, the Division of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection is able to go out there, investigate those, and actually look to see if those products pose a risk to a child. But really the way the system works is that we try to make sure they get caught before they come into the country, into the United States. So we stop from those products from actually getting into circulation, getting to the environment where a child can play with those. But it does happen. And those are products that are imported in from outside the United States.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We only have a few seconds left, but I'm wondering, what can I, as a parent, do today to make sure my home is lead safe? What are some actions and steps we can do today?
So the most important thing is message out there is if you live in an older house pre-1978, you can do this yourself, a visual assessment to see if there's any paint that potentially is breaking down on the walls, inside, outside of the home, on the chipping, peeling paint, or windowsills, door jams, if there's friction points and the paint is wearing away. You want to make sure that those areas are well cleaned, that you clean those up on a regular basis, and that you do bring in a qualified lead risk assessor to come in and inspect the property to let you know if there are lead hazards in that environment. So it's important to understand kind of what you're dealing with before you then determine what the solutions are. If you feel like your child is at risk of being exposed to lead, asking your physician for a blood lead test for your child is critically important as
being
well.
Being so proactive there. Yes. Brian,
exactly.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Brian Weaver, Lead Policy Advisor for the State Department of Health Services. Stay with us as we explore the world of typewriters. There is a resurgence of typewriters. Do you own one? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.